is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing it to him now. This is my desire, yes, Lord, to honor you. Oh, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way this morning. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Welcome to the service this morning. Good to be here once again. God has given us this opportunity gather together in his wonderful name to worship him, spirit and in truth. And we come together this morning desiring his presence. And he said if two or three had gathered together, they'd be in our midst. So we believe that this morning. Amen. Welcome each one to the service today. Amen. God is good, good all the time. So let's sing that this morning. Amen. Has he been good to you? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. He puts a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. And if you're walking through the valley and there's shadows all around, do not fear. He guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is good. God is good. Yes, He is all the time. There's a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. The darkest night is light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Sinners, so unworthy, yet for us He chose to die. Fill us with His Holy Spirit so we can testify that His love is everlasting. And His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. This song, heart of mine, God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Oh, yes, God is good all the time. It's a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Darkest night is light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah to Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your name this morning. Amen. I want to sing one more song. This old song. I'm in the way, the Glory Land way. There's only one way this morning, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood that saved us of our sins. Amen. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. Yes, I'm in the Glory Land way. Telling the world that Jesus saved today. Yes, I'm in the Glory Land way. I'm in the Glory Land way. I'm in the Glory Land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clear, for I'm in the Glory Land way. List to the call, the gospel call today, and get in the Glory Land way. Wonders come home, always to obey, and get in the Glory Land way. I'm in the Glory Land way. I'm in the Glory Land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clear, for I'm in Glory Land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the Glory Land way. shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land. Way, I'm in the glory land. Way, I'm in the glory land. Way, heaven is near and the way groweth clear. I'm in the glory land. Way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord, this morning. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Again, we welcome you this morning to the service. We want to welcome John and Kay Black from Florida. Glad to have them visiting with us this morning. Also, each one listening by way of internet, we always welcome you to the service. Trust that God would just bless you in a special way this morning. We have a good many prayer requests this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Stephen if he'd get ready and come this morning to take these requests. Please remember Shannon Green, my daughter in prayer. She has to have a biopsy, and that's from Sister Amber. I want to remember Shannon Green this morning. Also remember Sister Shirley Buchanan isn't feeling well. I want to remember Sister Shirley this morning. Miss her. Please remember Angie Pruitt in prayer. She's having a lot of pain in her hip. So we want to remember Sister Angie Pruitt in prayer today. Also, remember Sister Karen and my wife traveling to Alabama today for Traveling Mercy. We want to remember them. Also, Sister Becky is sick this morning. We want to remember Sister Becky. God would give her a special touch. Also, Sister April Grant's recovering from the broken wrist that she has, and it's had surgery on that. I want to remember her as she recovers from the surgery. Sister Shirley Lingle, want to remember her. It'll be Friday night, her husband passed away, so we want to remember that this morning. God would just comfort each one of the family there and give them a special touch. Also, Brother Allen's in South Carolina today. Remember him. Sister Hannah Whitlock is sick, and want to remember Sister Hannah this morning. Also, John Anthony's in training. He's not here. John Anthony Harwell, remember him this morning as we pray. Brother Stephen, if you would come this morning. Let's sing this song. He became me. Hallelujah. He became me that I might become Him by grace. Yes, He became me that I might become Him by grace. Lord, we thank You this morning. For He took my place, that I through His love might take it. He became that I by grace. Amen. We're also glad to see Brother Anwar and his family back. God bless you, Brother Anwar. Just so good to have you all back this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. And Lord, we are more than thankful that You've taken our place so that we can stand this morning as sinners saved by grace. And for this, I believe we are the most thankful. And in this, we have hope that this life is just a moment, just a breath, but we look to the life to come. And it's in that that I believe we have the most hope this morning. But it's in the cross that we are thankful. And Lord, it's in your presence with us this morning that we are thankful. And it's in you that we believe this morning, and it's in you that we present these requests before. And the many that are sick, the many that have different illnesses and different things going on, Heavenly Father, we place them by faith in your hands and believe that you are more than capable of touching them and healing them. And so, Lord, we give them into your hands. We ask that your perfect will would be made known. Lord, those who are traveling, those who are away, we pray that your presence would go with them, keep them safe. But Lord, in this building this morning, as we move into the service, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would have preeminence, not only in the minister, but in our hearts. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, and it's hard. I pray that you'd help us to move ourselves out of the way and just to listen and just to receive, and that you'd open our hearts so that we could receive what you have us to hear. Lord, we know that you can do it, and we ask you to do it by faith. We love you, and we thank you so much for everything that you do for us, for the many blessings that we have. And into your hands do we present this service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ do we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. Brother Darren's going to come sing for us. And also Brother John. So, Brother John, if you want to, just come on as Brother Darren gets ready. Sing a little bit more of that song as he comes. He became me that I might become in thy grace. Yes, he. That I might become in thy grace. For he took my place, that I through his love could take. I might become in thy grace. Amen. Brother John. Amen.
Song this morning that Lorian wrote. Do you have anything to say about it? It's called, what's the title of it?
Beside Me.
Beside Me.
The end of every road, that's where I am. Right now, this isn't high or low, it's just a decision now. Behind me is everything I've ever known, and everything I'm running from. And ahead there's a wasteland where nothing ever grows. But beside me, you are standing, and no matter where I go, promises, and he won't let me this night. I'm starting to lose my way, trying to rely on sight. Behind me there are voices telling me to turn around, and ahead there is darkness and not a sound. But beside me you are standing, and no matter where I go, I don't walk alone, 'cause beside me is a shepherd who will guide me through the valley, and he holds my hand and he promises that I am protected, I am his. And through the chaos and the dark, he holds my hand and he hides my heart, and I won't be afraid no matter what I face, 'cause beside me you are standing, and no matter where I go, I don't walk alone, 'cause beside me is a shepherd who will guide me through the valley, and he holds my hand and he promises that he won't let me, he won't let me go.
Amen. Appreciate that beautiful song. Thank you, Brother John and the girls. Amen. Amen. Brother Jaron's going to sing for us this morning. Amen. Worship the Lord this morning as they sing.
There's a table dressed with linen, a banquet is prepared. A host of angels gather for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready, yes, in spotless white array. A hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say, come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day, when I could give you your new name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. I have loved you from creation, long before you came to me. I carried that love with me all the way to Calvary, and though it wasn't over when they laid me in the tomb, I proved my love would never die. I rose again for you. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day, when I could give you your new name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Oh, come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day when I could give you your new name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love.
Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful song. Brother Jaron does such a nice job on it. Amen. Let's stand as our ushers come this morning. Amen. Let's sing that song, Let Me Walk With You, Jesus. Amen. How many love the Lord this morning? Ready for His Word. Amen. Amen. Brother Mike, if you would, prayer of the offering. Yes, Lord. Amen. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in this valley so low, but never one time has He failed me. To Him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. Yes, Lord. For without you, I know I could never. Don't ever. Found me when I was so lonely, and you found me when I was so blue. You found me when no one would love me, and no. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. Without you, I know I could never make heaven my home. Amen. Praise His name this morning. I have two announcements. Brother Stephen's class will meet at 4 p.m. today. Remember that. And also the adult choir will not practice today, but will practice next Sunday at 3 p.m. And the children's choir will practice today at 3:45 p.m. So remember that this morning. Brother Barry comes.
Same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, what he could ever do, he can still do today. He's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a savior, he's all of that. We had lots of prayer requests that were given today, and I'd just like to say this, that, you know, just so that you're encouraged and you know, this week there was a little boy who was 10 months old up in Alaska. He's an Eskimo boy. And he was a grandson of a brother that I had traveled with years ago up there, and Dennis Jones. And his little grandson was Braden Jones. And he has some sort of a genetic disease where they're not able to absorb oxygen from their lungs appropriately. And his cousin had died of the same condition a few years back. And so this little baby was born. Braden Jones was born, and 10 months ago, and his OS level was dropping and dropping to a serious point. And they were trying to get him out of the village because of the weather and the conditions and so forth. They were trying to get him out. Brother Andrew Boy Scout sent out a prayer request on Thursday, and he sent it to about 10 or 12 ministers, and we were all praying for that little boy and so forth. And we told Andrew, he said, "We're waiting for the report. We're waiting for the report." And finally, the next day, he sent the report back, and he said his OS level is 94, and it's just holding real steady, just real steady. That old boy's fine. And I just wrote him back a little note, and I said, "That's our God. That's what we should expect when we pray. We should expect that God, you know, will hear the cries of his people." I mean, that's what he told us to do. He told us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And so we believe that this morning. All right. What are we singing? I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand, but on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Sing it again now. Yes, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on this service today. We thank you for our opportunity to gather with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Now I pray, come in the volume of the book, make your will and your word real to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to understand. Lord Jesus, we'll be quick to give you the glory and the praise and the honor because you are the worthy one. Forgive us of our sins, of our weaknesses, our offenses, Lord, and anything that may be contrary to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and anything, Lord, that may have grieved you. We ask forgiveness for it. Lord Jesus, we come now and pray with all of these believers this morning and ask, Lord, that you would touch those that are sick, those that are hurting, Lord. We believe that you're able, Father, just like you touched that little boy up in Alaska this week. We believe, Lord, you're able to touch those that are within hearing of my words this morning, Lord. May your Holy Spirit come on the scene and minister to each one. We just want to say we love you. We thank you, Lord, and ask now that you would take complete control of all we do today. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. And all the bride said, amen. You may be seated this morning. We are honored to have, if you can bring up our first slide here this morning. Yep. We are honored to have Brother Anwar and his family here this morning, back where they belong. God bless you all. As a matter of fact, today, is a double blessing. We're going to have a baptism tonight. And Wakas is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are excited about that. And for anyone else that might decide that today is their day, we are honored to be able to do that. And we appreciate God dealing with our young people. And, you know, when someone just out of the blue, not because he's seeing a dozen kids come up to be baptized, but just out of the blue, God's been dealing with his heart. And I just think that's a wonderful thing. But that's a sign that God's doing something right in a family as well, to encourage that and to create an atmosphere into which the Holy Spirit can work. And so that's a wonderful thing. We wanted to mention a couple of birthdays as well. The Clayville family is away. I don't think that got mentioned today. March 10th, I had mentioned that Joel and Ruth Franklin's anniversary. It is their 17th anniversary, and we wish them all the best. We sure do miss them. Sister Connie Hughes had a birthday on the 14th. Did I mention that? Well, you have two then. Two, double blessing. Sorry. David Morglea is up in Virginia this week, and we miss Brother David, but his birthday was the 15th. Samuel Brown was the 17th, right, Samuel? He's here now today, right? Preoccupied, but he's occupied today, but we are glad for Samuel. There he is. How old is Samuel? Samuel, how old are you? 3 years old. Wonderful. And then I thought it might be nice if we started a new tradition with Sister Haley's birthday on the 19th. If the person who's having the birthday could come up and maybe say a few words or sing a special or read a poem or maybe we'll start the tradition next week. Sister Haley, we appreciate you and may the Lord richly bless you. The men's camp out, just to drop in that reminder there for you. And we want to just keep that before you there. We just want everybody to be able to come. You don't have to have a father. You don't have to have a son. You don't have to have a grandson, grandfather. You don't have to have anything, really. Just a sleeping bag, that's all. If you need room, there's room in the Clayville's tent. There always is. But we're glad to have folks. Even if you can come along for a little while, that would be nice. I know you'd enjoy it, and it's always a blessed time for the men. And so we want you to keep that in mind. We have a baby dedication this morning, and we'd like to just take a moment here this morning as we prepare for that of a new baby that has been introduced to our congregation this morning, and we're going to dedicate that child to the Lord this morning. And whether you realize it or not, the Cochrans have a baby. We're going to ask them to come on this morning. Whole family? So let me introduce to you this morning royalty, Autumn Hall. And she was born into the world on March 10th, I believe, March 5th. And she is in the care, the foster care of the Cochrans. And their experience with girls, that's for sure. And asked this morning if we could pray for this little girl. Now, before we read the scripture, let's sing the little chorus Brother Keith is playing there this morning. And sing it together. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, my Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Now, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, and we've read this many times, but I want you to listen this morning. They brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. And as his disciples rebuked those that brought them, but when he saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, what church does this little child go to? It's not what it says. When he saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, are they believers in the message? He didn't say that. As a matter of fact, if I read this correctly, he didn't lay down any conditions at all. He just took the children up in his arms and blessed them. Now, Brother Branham was asked this question in 1964, and this is something that's worth talking about a little bit more than just what we'll do here this morning. Because Brother Branham commented on this subject later on in Marriage and Divorce. But he was asked the question, dear Brother Branham, if a baby is born out of wedlock, can this child ever be saved or go in the rapture? Brother Branham said, saved? Why, sure. Sure. He said, the child can't help what's been done. That is true. Now he talks about going into rapture and so forth, and he comes down and talks about that, and then he says, but I believe the people, and he says the baby can be saved. It has no rights of its own. He said it's an awful act and things, but he said this is something that the baby said could not help what's been done. And then he goes back, he talks about in the Old Testament. But then he says, but you see, there was nothing there that was strong enough to forgive that sin in the Old Testament when a child was born out of wedlock. He said that would have to last, breed out for hundreds of years. He said multiple generations. And he said, but there was nothing strong enough to forgive that sin back in the Old Testament. The blood of the Old Testament did not forgive sins, it covered sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, that's different now. When the blood of Jesus comes in, it's different. So we can't take an Old Testament principle and apply it in a New Testament context. Okay? This does not in any way mean that, a child out of wedlock is something that is is the thing that God intended. It is not. It is not. But for this child, who is born to two parents that are they've had a hard way in life. They're both involved in drugs and so forth, and they live actually up in Virginia. And the parents of this child now are actually reestablishing themselves in a home there. And this baby is affected by their lifestyle, so it is addicted to drugs. And it still has some symptoms and so forth, and it's kind of working it out of its system here. And so I believe that by God's grace, this baby has been sovereignly taken and placed into the hands of the Cochran family here and now presented to us to pray for it. And I think it's a good thing for us to pray for this little child just because it needs all the help it can get. It needs every opportunity. It needs whatever we can ask God to give it and bless it with. And we don't always understand why things happen the way they do in the lives of people and how they got to where they are and so forth. But you know what? I pray that maybe this baby and the birth of this baby may be something that turns that couple around, deals with their hearts, and softens them and realizes, you know, God gave us this life. We need to get our lives together. And I know Sister Jennifer has been in contact with the mother and witnessing to her and so forth. Hey, you know, to me, there's no accidents with God. So rather than judge this little child, we look at the example of Jesus. He didn't do it. He just took the child in his arms and blessed it and gave it back to the mom. This is royalty. Lord Jesus, we bow in your presence this morning, thanking you for little royalty. We don't know her parents. We may never know her parents. But Lord, by your principles and by your laws, you allowed this life to come into the world. It's already struggling and in a battle. But Lord Jesus, we believe you to be stronger than anything that we can face. So Lord, by grace this morning, and just by grace, we place her into your arms and ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just bless her life. May her life be a testimony, Lord, and a witness of your grace and mercy to these parents. And Father, may you bless her with good health. We curse this affliction that she fights with today in the name of Jesus Christ. And pray, dear God, that you would give her rest and peace. And Lord, may the Coughlins be used to give her great love and care, and to nurture her in the way she should go during the time that they have her. We commit her into your care and ask your blessing upon this little girl and her family. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. She's a cutie. She has good lungs. God bless you. Oh, yes, my Jesus loves me. Let's stand this morning. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Praise the Lord. Let's take your Bible this morning. Let's bring that back up again. If you don't mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians. For some people who may feel like that, you know, maybe we shouldn't show grace. And my goodness, I'm glad you're not my pastor. I'm glad you're not my Savior. Because he showed me grace when I certainly didn't deserve it. He sure did. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. We'd like to go back to this little series again this morning, if that's okay. And we'd like to talk about the battles that we face as Christians and believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. I'm allowed to do a lot of things, but all things really are not edifying for me at all. They're not profitable for me at all. It's what Paul's saying. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Something can be lawful. Something can be allowable, permissible, legal. It can be available, but it might not necessarily be good for me. I could go out and smoke if I wanted to. It sure wouldn't help me. But it's allowable. Paul says, though, and the principle that I want to bring to you is that I will not be brought under the power of anything except the power of the Holy Spirit. And what he's going to help us to understand here today, I trust, and by God's grace here, if I can say some of these things correctly here, is that there are forces that are out there that would try to control you and dominate you and take control of your life, not for anything good, but to destroy you. And that's what the enemy does. He seeks to destroy. He seeks to pervert the things that God has established. And Satan does not want you to have and enjoy your freedoms and, the opportunities that are laid before you. He does not want you to make it to the end of the journey that God has predestinated you for. And he is essentially a dumb devil, because if he could only read his Bible with an understanding, he'd realize there's a bride that's not only on her way, but predestinated to make it at the end of the way. And nothing can disrupt predestination. We believe that, right? But maybe he knows that, and so his efforts are rather invested in making our life miserable along the way and making you feel like you're not going to make it. Because that's a very powerful weapon when we struggle right here. Isn't that true? So this is for you this morning. If you've ever struggled and felt like you've been involved in a battle at all, especially a spiritual battle, and so forgive me at the outset here for being simplistic with this, but I trust it'll be understandable, and that's important. Souls in prison now, 1963. Brother Branham said, "That's why we're gathered here today, Lord," he said, "is to confess our wrongs and to ask for mercy." And that's why we face this altar this morning, because we know we're mortal, and there's many mistakes in us, and we're full of fault. How many would agree? But we come to confess our wrongs and look to our Heavenly Father with open hearts for the blessings and renewal of strength and faith. That's what we need to have today, isn't it? I believe most of us today need a little renewing of our strength and a little bit of a building of faith. And he said, may he teach us things that he'd have us to know. And that's really important because, you know, if you've ever fallen into a trap or you've ever made a mistake, there's a desire in our hearts to want to know how not to do that again. Right? And knowledge is the thing that helps us to do that. I just want to say it's good to have Sister Mary Ann with us today and good to have Sister Vasaki. That's who it is, back there. Good to have her back with us today. May the Lord richly bless you. Now, we know that we have resources, and just let me work my way into this here. The book of Proverbs teaches us, "The Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Out of God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. "And he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, for he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." Listen now to what assets you have. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." We don't go around calling ourselves righteous, but he has made us accepted in the beloved, right? He has made us to stand righteous in the eyes of God and justified as though we never did it in the first place. That's not your doing, that's his doing, right? He made the way for us to do that, to stand that way. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." So in other words, somewhere, somehow, there is a stockpile of wisdom and righteousness that's available for us that we can access if we are one of his, right? "He layeth up sound wisdom." Just like Joseph laid up grain for the famine that was coming, God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler or a shield. He is a defensive weapon for them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I like the way that Florence Nightingale said it years ago. She said, "Life is hard, a hard fight. A struggle, a wrestling with the principles of evil, hand to hand, foot to foot, every inch of the way is disputed." How many would agree? Every inch of the way is disputed. Let me tell you, some of our days, they go well, they go smooth, they go without a blip at all. And then we have weeks like we had last week. And there are all kinds of things that happen. And you know, thankfully, it isn't all a struggle. Every day is not a struggle. But I will tell you this, in the spiritual realm, every bit of progress we make becomes because we labor against the forces that are arrayed against us. And so therefore, we are always reminded that we have to put all of our energy into the fight. And we also have to be able to use the weapons and the defenses and the forces that God has given us to use. He's laid up certain things for us. And I will tell you from the outset, I can just tell by your expression here. I can tell from the outset, there's a lot of things here that I'm going to say that I have repeated before. And you're sitting there saying, "Yeah, that's right. I've heard that before. I've read that in my Bible," because I've read my Bible all the way through, so I must have read it in there somewhere. And there's a lot of people that will hear things, but I will tell you something. It doesn't become as meaningful as when you realize I need to have tools or weapons in this fight. I need to realize that these promises really work. And I need to be convinced that these promises really work. Well, let me tell you something. I can tell you that it will really work. I can tell you they're true and they really work. But that's not the same as you finding out they really work. And I will tell you something, that God's not afraid to put you into a battle so that you can, out of desperation sometimes, begin to pull out these and search for these truths that are there for us so that you can use them so you can walk away and say, I know they're true. I don't need Brother Barry to tell me they're true. I know they're true. I know that God's a healer. I know that God's a deliverer. I know that God's a supplier. And it's a great thing for me to say that, but it's another thing for you to experience that and then be able to testify it of your own. God is not afraid to make you battle hardened. God is not afraid to put iron in your soul. And the way that He does that is sometimes not the way that we would imagine, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, Brother Branham said the message points out the evils of this age, and he said it's fitting. This is the God of this evil age in 1965. He said it is fitting to prophesy, and it is fitting to prophesy for this evil age. He said, and it's my belief that the Bible has every answer for every age already written in the Bible for the believer of that age. How many could say amen? So that would include us, wouldn't it? I mean, that would include every one of us here, that there is an answer for everything that you face, because the Bible has every answer for every believer and every issue for every believer in every age of time. And so therefore, there's got to be something there for us. And therefore, you can never say it's impossible. You can never say, I have no resources left. Because then you're saying God's run out of ammunition, and that's not true. He said, I believe everything that we have need of is written right here, and that just needs to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. So rather than say, I have no hope, and rather than say, it's impossible, you need to say, Lord, reinterpret this word for me again, that I can have what I need to have because I believe it's in here somewhere. I may not see it this morning, but Lord, I need it. I need it right away. Greatest battle ever fought, Brother Branham said, there are ministering spirits that are sent from the presence of God to be ministers. And remember, if it ministers something besides the Word, it didn't come from God. I love this statement. He said, always in heaven, God watches over it. He will never send a spirit to minister something besides the Word. He'll never do that. Well, the days of miracles is past. No, he said that didn't come from God. It's contrary to the Word. He sends the ones that minister the Spirit of the Word. Remember the people who study counterfeit issues, you know, counterfeit money and that kind of thing. I was listening to an interview that was done with somebody who was involved in that, and they asked them, how do they know? Do they study all of these different versions of dollar bills and the printers that make all these fake versions and so forth? And they were asking them, is that the way you approach it? And they said, no. They said, the way that we understand counterfeit is that we study and scrutinize and very carefully look at and examine the real thing. So they'll take a $100 bill and they know every facet of that $100 bill, especially the new ones. They're made with material instead of paper, and they have information actually in them. And there's a whole bunch of technology that goes into a new $100 bill. And they said, we study that, we know, we scrutinize it, we examine it, we look at it, we handle it all the time. And they said, as soon as you take a counterfeit and put it in the hand of somebody who studied the real thing, they know intuitively, they know right away, this is not the real thing. This does not feel like, this does not react like all of the real ones that we've studied. Saints of God, I believe that our dedication to the Word of God should be just as sincere, because when we know the real thing, as soon as Satan comes along with a counterfeit, there's something about it, you just know it's not right. And I will tell you something, that even God gives parents the ability to be able to, to be able to know things about people, that, for instance, that might want to interact with their children. They might want to come along and court the daughter or be involved with the son or whatever else. And sometimes parents can have an intuitive ability just to be able to know that there's something not right. May it happen in your household. And sometimes, you know, young people can get an attitude and they can say, well, you're always negative. You don't want me to be happy. You don't want me. No, that's not the issue. That's not always the issue. Because I can tell you where, Brother Branham, I think I told you the story before, and forgive me for being repetitive here, but the brother who came to Brother Neville one time and asked him, he said, Brother Neville, you need to pray for me because I just have this bad feeling about this brother in the church, and I just can't get close to him, and I don't want to be around him when we have foot washing. I want to distance myself from him, and I want to get over this. And if you don't mind, pray for me. That I won't have this feeling about this brother, this attitude about this brother. Brother Neville simply said to him, he said, if you don't mind, can you tell me who the brother is? And he said, told him the name, and Brother Neville said, you really don't want me to pray that away. Because he said, that's discernment. There are issues about that brother. In other words, that you may not know, but there's something on that spiritual level that alerts you to the fact that there's something just not right. Now, we need to pray, especially as parents, we need to pray that we're not just doing this out of emotions and just out of feeling, and we don't want our children to grow up and get married, and we don't want them to interact with other people. We have to be sure that this is not just on an emotional level, but we have to have real good discernment. We have to exercise real wisdom here. But remember now, don't feel bad, because I just read to you out of Proverbs there where God lays up wisdom for the righteous. He's got a stockpile there. And then James comes along in chapter 1 there, and he tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it liberally. And so therefore, wisdom is available, and wisdom and discernment and understanding and perception, that's what you need to have today, because we're living in a very precarious time. How many would agree? We're living in a very tricky time, so we need to have that. But you parents need to have a double portion of it. You need to have an extra amount of it. You grandparents need to have more of it, because there are things that happen in our families and we can influence things towards the right, but we sometimes had to put up with a lot in the process of doing that. And all the parents said, amen. So you have to stay the course, and you have to know, am I right? And you have to know, Lord, you're going to have to give me words to say. You're going to have to give me help here because I need to know the right way to go here, and I need to know how far that I can press this. I've often told parents, you got to be careful how you control things in your household, because you can drive young people out of that household. And you had to be careful with how you do that. You have a right, but you had to be careful how you exercise that right. Are we okay? Now, Brother Bam tells us here now that, remember, if God sends a spirit, it's going to minister the Word of God and nothing but. It's never going to take you away from the Word of God. It's never going to compromise with the standards of the Word of God, right? If somebody explains to you technically how it's all right for a woman to cut her hair, you've got an identifier right there. Okay? But here's the problem. Psalms 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. My God, thou art the very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers of flaming fire. Notice what he says. Lord, David prays, he says, thou art great, and he says, you cover yourself with light as with a garment. And he says, you make your angels spirits and his ministers as a flaming fire. That's the way a true minister is described. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So the problem is that we as a congregation, we have everybody coming to us, wanting to minister to us, clothed in light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So it doesn't matter that someone comes to me and says, well, you know, I believe the message. There's lots of people who believe the message, but they're not preaching according to the mind of God and the Word of God for our day. So we have to use discernment, right? We have to exercise wisdom and discretion here. And that's what Paul is teaching us, and that's what we have to make sure that we do. Follow me now. His unfailing words of promise in 1964. And so now when we come out here, I constantly in meetings, he said, we're doing everything I can for the Lord, but I don't do all that I should. I know that. I make so many mistakes. Now you got to take note of the bottom of the screen here. Besides the guy with the helmet, the date is 1964. This is not a novice, and this is not a man who's beginning his ministry. Brother Ram's admitting that he makes mistakes, because he's human and we all make mistakes. Isn't that right? So we need to get off our legalistic high horse, and we need to realize, you know what, but for the grace of God and for His mercies, where would all of us be? We all make mistakes, and sometimes we make wrong judgments, and that's very often how we learn how to make right judgments is when we make wrong ones. And Brother Branham's saying that, and he says, my wife has to be both mother and father because he's off ministering. He's gone for a good cause. Not a bad cause, but a good cause. And he said, I'm away, and a father and mother should agree with their decisions about their children. But he said, I'm not there, and I'm in the service of the Lord. One time I remember years ago when I lived up in Ohio, my office, my working office was in the basement of the house. And we had a window well in that office. And in that window well, one day I was drawn to it. I was just working at my desk, and I was drawn to this sound. It was in the window well. And it was a tap, 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 like it. Tap, 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 tap. Continuous repetitive noises drive me crazy, and so I had to get up and find out what it was. It was just going on and on like this. And when I got there and looked, and I studied and I looked, and I followed the sound and followed the sound. Finally, I went outside and I looked in the window well from the outside, and it was still tap, 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 tap. Here it was, a butterfly with one wing. And he was just working away, trying to fly. You ever seen a butterfly fly with one wing? Of course not. Butterflies don't fly with one wing. So he was flapping away and trying. Let me tell you something. That's a little bit like single parenting. It's really tough. And Brother Branham said, I realize, he said, this is hard for my wife. And he's feeling that. And he's saying, boy, you know, she's making decisions here kind of as a mother and a father. And he says, mother and father should agree on decisions for their children. But he said, I'm not there. I'm in the service of the Lord. So there's a sacrifice that goes on in their family and in their relationship. And it's tough because they've got, you know, two girls that are growing up and becoming teenagers. And they got a boy that's there and a young boy. And, you know, there's real challenges in any household. Isn't that right? And I will tell you what. Satan will try to get in whenever he can, wherever he can, in whatever way he can. He sure will. Now, let me go a little bit further here. Brother Branham has this. This is the interview with Sister Bruce. We've mentioned this before. Here's a little cut out of it again. Brother Branham says, now, I'm fixing to pray for you. And he said, I'm not worthy of that, but I come to represent him. Now, remember, Sister Bruce was laboring under the fact that she never felt worthy of God's blessing and the feeling that she could actually be forgiven. She labored underneath that. And in this interview, Brother Branham says now, he says, I'm not worthy either to be able to lay hands on you as a representative of Christ, but I'm not coming to you on the basis of my conduct or my performance. I'm coming to you on the basis of the blood of Christ. Because that's what cleanses me. That's what makes me worthy to be able to stand and to do this. And he said, must remember, he said, me being a sinner before God, I'm not a sinner, neither are you. We're born that way, but the blood of Christ has made the difference, right? I'm not a sinner, he said, and neither are you. He said, we got a blood sacrifice laying there. And as long as the blood sacrifice is laying there, you know what? We can go ahead and do our business. We can move towards the kingdom. He said, God doesn't even see us. He hears our voice, but he sees the blood of Christ. We are Christians, and I believe you to be a genuine Christian woman. Sister Bruce says, but I make so many mistakes, and I fall so many times. How many can relate to that? That's why Christ had to die, Brother Branham said. So that you, with your mistakes, wouldn't be lauded to you. He took your mistakes. Your desire in your heart is to serve him. Did you hear that? God never took your ability to make mistakes away from you. We still make them. But the penalty of those mistakes, he does not see anymore because of the blood of Christ. Glory to God. Therefore, then, the mistakes, then, we interpret them differently. We make them, and that is true. But, Lord, let me die daily, like Paul said. Let me repent of that. Let me put it under the blood. And that's what you ought to do. If you find yourself making a mistake or you fall into a trap or you do something wrong, then you ought to come and take that and put it under the blood of Christ because that's the provision he made for you. He didn't make a provision for you not to make a mistake. He made a provision for you to be forgiven of that mistake. Let me say it again. He did not take away your imperfections in your humanness. We are still capable, every one of us, of making a mistake. No. Come on. Look at me here. We are all capable of making a mistake. Do you believe that? Brother Branham did. He said, I make so many mistakes. Brother Branham says here, he says that, and I want you to understand this. He said, God doesn't even see us in our mistakes here. He said, we are Christians, and I believe you're a real Christian woman. He said, we have a blood sacrifice laying here. And so therefore, knowing that we are still human, then let me tell you, we'd be lost if we didn't have the truth of these statements right here. We have a blood sacrifice, we have a covering, and therefore it's not allotted to us. It's not in your account at all. Sister Bruce goes on and says, all right, she says, yes. And then he says, all right, that's what he died for, so that you could serve him. He is your sin offering. Your sins are not known. You are not a sinner before God. Aren't you glad you're not a sinner before God? Hey, Sister Bruce really struggled with this, and some people really do. But he said, Sister Bruce, she says, I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I could put my foot on. All right. Ordinarily, a human being is born in sin. That's the nature of a human being. Let's establish this fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? Romans 3:23. That's how we all came. That was your nature. But it changed once. What changed it? Christ. There you are. She's got a profound desire in her heart to be right. That's not the way she was born. She was born a sinner, away from God and out of harmony with God. And now she has this desire to make no mistakes, you know, to be right with God and to make sure that she's okay with God. If she died today, she'd be okay with God. But she's got the kind of personality that continually questions that because she's still making mistakes. Nowhere at all I've ever read in the Bible that says, once you become a new creature, all mistakes are gone. It doesn't say that. Right? It doesn't say that. But we have a blood offering. We have an atonement there. We have an answer. And he says, there you are. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. The thing that she's got to do is believe. She doesn't need to make her life perfect. She doesn't need to live her life without mistakes, because you and I can't do that. You'll run a yellow light, right? You'll get upset sometimes, maybe you know, a little bit excessively. You'll make decisions sometimes out of passion and out of emotion, and they may not always be the right decisions. But you know what? As try as hard as you may, you will not live a perfect life on this earth. But Jesus never did anything to take you away from that life in this earth, but we have a blood covering. So that when we do make a mistake, we can come back and we can realize, hey, thank God that's not allotted to me. I just need to check and be sure, because you're being quiet. Has anybody here made a mistake last week? You feel okay? All right. So let's just go on a little bit further. All right. Brother Bam says, "In as the eagle stirs his nest," he said, what a joy it is and what a privilege to serve God. He said, got to give it to these young people. They got an awful battle in this time. They got an awful battle. You know what year this is? This is a long time ago. And I tend to think that young people have got a little bit more on the temptation side now than what they had back then. Temptations are still temptations. But I will tell you something, there's a lot more temptations now, and they're a lot more accessible because we've kind of advanced in Satan's Eden right now. So there's a lot of things that are right at our fingertips that never were in times past. And he says, look at the television, rotten and polluted, and look at all the other things now that are added to that, right? You know, our connectivity and all the rest of it. He said, look at the nation that they're coming up in, politics rotten to the core, Antichrist rising in seat and in power, all kinds of things happening around us because the world is falling apart, but there's forces that are rising in the world here. And we have governments that act with absolute irresponsibility. Governments that we sometimes look at and hang your head concerning. I'm not a politician. I'm not into the political process. But I say this. I'll just say this. At these days, when you travel overseas, it's different than how it used to be, because of how people look at us as a people. And you may not understand that, but I will tell you something. There are a lot of things that are changing. And there are a lot of things that are going to change as a result of the changes that are being made today. And I will tell you something, that a lot of it is playing into the hands of the fulfillment of prophecy in ways that I had never thought. And I've been working on this and studying this. Now, just for a moment here. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word trying here is a very important word. It is the Greek word hypomene, and it means to have a steadfastness. The trial of your faith actually produces a kind of endurance that faith without trials does not produce. We can sit in the church and we can try to absorb as much as we can. And faith comes by hearing and, our faith is built. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like building endurance in the body of a soldier that helps him to stand in the heat of battle. He's got to actually get out and exercise what he's learned. In theory, we've got a battle. We've got to go into a region. We've got to go into Vietnam, or we've got to go somewhere. We've got to go into trenches of World War I. And they're training soldiers for that because they know it's not good enough for them just to know we're going to be in trenches. We've got to know how to defend ourselves. We've got to know how to build trenches. We've got to know how to navigate in them. We've got to know how to survive in them. We have to be actually exposed to this in order for us to have steel built into our person. And that's the idea that Paul is conveying. I remember one time years ago, I was in Missouri, and I was talking to a guy who was a special ops guy. Never forgot that conversation because he got rolling. And sometimes when you get a military guy and they start, rolling with their stories, and they start to tell about what they went through and what happened and their experiences and so forth. And he talked about, their expertise in building a foxhole. He said sometimes they come through the woods, and he said they'd be in Vietnam with all the jungle, and they come through there, and he said all of a sudden they'd be under enemy fire. The only thing that they could do is dig down, and they could build themselves a little foxhole. And he described, he took a pen out and a napkin. I've got some of the best information a man could ever want to have on the back of napkins. And he took and he drew this diagram of how the shape of a perfect foxhole was. He said it had a little down part down here on the bottom of the foxhole. You can't see my note here, I know that. But he said it had a little kind of a down piece on the bottom of that foxhole, because he said if you're in a foxhole and somebody throws a grenade and that grenade lands in the foxhole, he said, and there's no, it's just a hole in the ground, he said it's going to blow up this way. But he said they built it with a little shelf here and a little pocket underneath the bottom of the foxhole. So if the grenade ran into the foxhole, it would roll down to the bottom. And instead of blowing up this way, it would blow out that way. And he said, if you're sitting up here and on this ledge, he said the grenade, the impact of it would go that way instead of going straight up. And he said, a lot of times we would survive. We may not be unhurt, but we would survive. Well, you know what? I never knew that. And if I read that, if I Google that, I could probably find that out. But that wouldn't be the same as standing in there with a grenade rolling into your foxhole and experiencing what that feels like, and the concussion and the sounds and the feeling of a grenade going off under your feet. And his stories were absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was unbelievable what they went through there. And it was because they had learned certain things. And when they were coming out of Vietnam, I got some of your attention anyway. And when he was coming out of Vietnam, they were the last people out. They were the people who came out and they destroyed all of the American weapons and machinery and vehicles that were left in the field so that the enemy would not take them. So that they left a tank there intact. And they ran off because they could not run that tank anymore, or the enemy was upon them. Then the enemy would take over that tank, and now they'd have an American tank to use against the Americans, and it would cause great havoc. So the mission for these guys were, there was 12 of them, and he said they would back out of the jungle, destroying everything in their path that belonged to the Americans. And he said, we would destroy anything at all that had an American symbol on it, we would destroy it. And I said, how'd you do it? He said, with tennis balls. And I said, yeah, right. He said, no. He said, we would take a tennis ball and drill a little hole in it with our knife. We'd take baking powder, baking soda, and we'd fill up the tennis ball with soda, and we'd put black electric tape over the tennis ball, over the hole. He said, when we came out, we'd find a tank or a truck or a vehicle, one of the armored vehicles, he said, didn't matter. Open up the gas tank, throw the tennis ball in, and we run for the hills. The diesel fuel would eat through the tape. And when it came in contact with the baking soda inside, it caused a little explosion. And that explosion would blow the whole thing apart with all the weapons and ammunition that was inside of it. And so he said, we would have a bag of these tennis balls, and we just drop them in. Don't you kids get any ideas if you want to have... If you're going for insurance money, forget it. And they would have a bag of these balls, and they were going back out of the jungle like this. And he said they would drop them in the gas tanks, and they would just blow the whole thing wide open as they were retreating and coming back out of the jungle there. You know what? You didn't know that. Now you do, in theory. But you really don't know what that's like under enemy fire, to be backing out of a jungle that you're unfamiliar with, blowing up your own side's equipment on the way out. Let me tell you, that'd be an experience, wouldn't it? And no matter how good I told it, no matter how exciting that sounded, it wouldn't be the same as you being out there in that field with all those soldiers that are out there going through that experience of having to destroy all that equipment. They got a mission and they got to do it. I'm telling you all that to say this is exactly what James is telling us. That when you go through trials, you don't get up in the morning and pray for them. You don't get up in the morning and say, I hope I have some trials today. I hope I get laid off today. Oh yeah, what a day that will be. No, we don't pray that way. We don't pray that our families are disrupted. We don't pray that we have marriage troubles, right? We don't pray that we will wind up applying for unemployment today. We don't do that. But all of those things that we know we go through work together for good to them that love God. And through those experiences, you've got to understand that that builds the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. That builds a steel or a resolve or a steadfastness or an endurance or a constancy in you. And the other phrase on the bottom of the screen there says, it builds a heroic endurance inside you. And you know what? That's what you need to have. And I will tell you something else, parents. That's what you need to pray that your children get. Because there are going to be winds of Laodicea blow strong across their bow. And they're going to have tempters and they're going to have situations and they're going to have circumstances. And you're going to need to have more than just, a badge on here that says, I attended the HBT Adventures in the Bible program. You're going to need to have heroic endurance to be able to stand against the winds that will blow against you. And the way that God's going to build that in you is to give you experiences that bring that out. Are we okay? This word is found in many places in the Bible, and here's a good one. But on that good ground, Jesus is talking about a sower who sows seed. But on that good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth with patience. Those that are receiving the word of God in an honest and a good heart, and they having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring it forth with fruit because of their patience. In other words, there's an endurance that they have. And when things are good, hey, it's easy. It's just like Job's wife. You think about Job's wife and how that she looked at Job and all that he went through. And finally, when Job's lost everything and lost his children and lost his household and lost all of his effects, he's standing there on that scrap pile and he's looking at his wife and his wife is looking at him. And she just simply says, my goodness, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job says, yeah, right. You didn't say that when you were driving to the mall in your BMW. Because that's when people want to quit on God, is when things get rough. Right? People don't have the same attitude when the blessings are flowing tonight and all things are going good. And Job's wife, she had an attitude about God because there was trials. But I find nowhere in the scripture where God does not promise us those trials at all. But we are assured that many are the afflictions of the righteous and they happen even to the best of us. And many times, isn't it true? Many times we want God to take away those problems right away. We pray and say, Lord, deliver me and take that away from me. And do it, Lord, if you don't mind, right away. I got stuff to do. I got things that need to be done. And so if you don't mind, can you straighten out my family and get it done? Because I can't and I need you, Lord, and I'm a believer and I want you to do it right away. And we look at the here and now. God looks at the sweet by and by. I said, we look at the here and now. We want God to answer our prayers like that. We want Him to do the here and now. But God knows really what's best for us. And sometimes, very often, not all the time, but sometimes God is teaching us through those trials that we have. And He's looking at the sweet by and by. He's looking at down the road what you can learn even when trials are not prayed away instantly. All right, folks, let me give you an example. Here's Paul and Silas. They're in the jail, and the Bible says that they have their feet in stocks, and they're bound in there, and They're in the curse of a Roman jail. They're in a place where, and I will tell you something. Recently, I heard about prisoners who were in Sweden who are now being given menus to pick their food in prison. And besides that, they got 2 weeks off and they could go to the coast in a prison out there because that was their right as a prisoner to get 2 weeks off. Now, in the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas went to jail, they never got 2 weeks off. Neither did they get a menu. They would have been in a rock-hewn cave, which would have water running through it. And all the other stuff that gets washed around with water in a prison that doesn't have any restrooms in it and has animals that follow conditions like that. I've been in prisons like that. I've been in Mamertine prison. I visited some jails that I've seen in the third world countries. And let me tell you, Brother Anwar will tell you, because he's visited a couple himself, it's not any place that you would want to say, yeah, I could take a year off and rest. And they would have been bound with a bar that held their feet and ankles together and chained that way. And you know what they did when they were in that condition? Rather than say, God, look, I'm your messenger. How come you don't take this trial away from me? I asked you yesterday. I mean, look, I got camp meetings, I got stuff to do, I got people to pray for, I got sermons to prepare. Hello? He doesn't do that. You know what he does? They start to sing. They're starting to rejoice. They're starting to thank God. They're starting to, I mean, they're just going at it this way without deliverance. Come on now. They're doing this without deliverance. And then when deliverance comes, when the earthquake comes, And they're looking at this situation and now they're free and they run out. And the jailer says, oh, man, he says, now I'm going to lose my life because all the prisoners are gone. And he's ready to fall on his sword and end it right there. Paul says, hey, don't do it. And the jailer looks at this guy and says, hey, what must I do to get whatever you've got? Because his testimony was, these people rejoice when they were bound, not when they were free. And your suffering can actually bring glory to God, even when you're suffering, if you take the right attitude. If we take the attitude that, oh, you know, God ought to do this, I'm a believer, good luck. But I will tell you something, that God very often will bring change into our life through some of those difficult things that we go through. And God has a way of turning disadvantage actually into advantage if we'll allow Him to do that. And so the way that this happens, folks, is not just because you can stand there and wave a spoken word book under God's nose and say, hey, do you know who I am? Sometimes I'm joking in our household, you know, I'm trying to get in there somewhere and, you know, trying to get a good parking spot. And I feel like rolling down the window and say, do you know where my son works? Do you know where my son actually works? Pritchard Heating and Cooling. I got a son that works at Pritchard Heating and Cooling. And the doors just swing wide open. Anyway, Jesus goes on and uses the word again, Luke 21:19. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience, in that trying, in that hypomene, in that forging of steel in your heart, in your resolve, in your heroic endurance, that's what saves us, folks. That's the peace of God that comes into our hearts. Romans 5:3. And not only so, Paul says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know what? All of this is great on paper. All of this is great in PowerPoint. But it's a whole lot different when you go through it yourself and you experience those things. All right, so here we go. Here's an example now. This is not you now. This is somebody else that Brother Branham encountered in a prayer line. You've heard the story before, so I'm going to be very brief. But I need you to hang on to a phrase here because we're going to use it a little bit later on. Brother Branham said, now, is this the baby that he prayed for? He's got a young couple, first child. The child is retarded. He said, from Indiana, you believe the little baby's going to be well? He said, now, get into that attitude of this. He's telling the couple, this is the way you want to be thinking now. This is the way you want to be praying now, which I think is always great. Jesus, you're here and I'm accepting the healing. I believe with all my heart and now it's finished. And he says, you want to believe that now. You want to be thanking God in the midst of the trial, not just after God heals this baby, but thank God now. Get into this attitude now. Are we okay? Everybody understand? He's teaching us something here, folks, about our attitude. How long has your baby been sick, brother? He said, since it was born. What's the trouble? It's retarded. He said, now you know the devil's done that. God can make this baby well again, both you Christians. He said, neither of you. Neither of you Christians. So Brother Branham begins to deal with them, and he says, will you give your life to Christ? And they do, and he prays for them. And, you know, there's Brother Branham's rejoicing over this whole thing that's unfolding here now before him. Then he says, now, Heavenly Father, by laying our hands on this blessed child, that's two newborn children that has just come, father and mother, and had to partake of this baby to bring them to eternal life. In order for these two to come to eternal life, he said, they had to have this baby. Because you know what? No one has an answer for this baby's problem. But all of a sudden they hear the news that people are being healed and blind eyes are coming open and the lame are walking. And here they are. They say, well, we're not Christians, but you know what? What have we got to lose? Because nobody can help us. Nobody has a solution. This is the way this baby is born. What have we got to lose? And so they come probably with an attitude like that. And they're coming up there. And he says, now, Brother Bram's telling him, you actually had to partake of this baby to bring you to where you are today. Maybe if it hadn't been for the baby being this way, they'd have been lost forever. But the baby has become a temporary or a minor savior to them, to bring them to the Lord Jesus for their salvation. We thank you, Father, and now we bless them. I believe in the same way that royalty down here. You don't know what God will do with a child, in the lives and the hearts of the children. You know, maybe somehow parents who are hooked on drugs, and they look at their child and they say, wow, that's not fair. That's not fair that little baby would have to suffer because of mistakes that we've made. And, you know, God can deal with hearts that way. You believe that? We don't know. We don't know. And a child can actually become, in a sense, a tool that God will use to bring people to Christ. Because people are affected by, mothers are affected by children and how they look and how they act and so forth. And Brother Branham says, now this child in the condition that it's in, he said, God will use that now. God is using that, he said, to bring it like a temporary savior to bring it to Christ. They're not saved because they had a child like this. They're rather saved because now they believe and accept Christ. And now he's also becomes their healer. Now watch what he says. We bless the baby in the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I rebuke the works of the devil. He says, Satan now. Now, here's where you need to hang on to this. Sorry, we're going to come back to it. Satan, you have no more right. It's all over. So prior to this moment, Satan had a right to interfere, to pervert, to twist, or to mutate something that even happened in the womb of that mother. Because he's a thief, he's a liar, he's a destroyer, right? Remember now, he's not a creator, he's a perverter of God's creation. And this baby was never meant to be born in that condition. So somehow or another now, he's got hands there because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. He's got a right. And Brother Branham's here now to say, you have no more right. It's all over. We beseech you through the blood of Jesus Christ who bid us to do so and cast you away from this child. So notice now, Brother Branham is not, he's not claiming anything else. He's not claiming any expertise of his own. He's not claiming some medical breakthrough. He's certainly not claiming any physical power over this child. But he's standing there saying, I have the power to bind the authority of Satan through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hang on to that, all right, as we want to come to that. Brother, we know, and without going into details here, we know I've showed you this before, that in the stream of humanity, in our lives here, on this earth, in this physical presence that you're in today, there are forces below, forces above, that try to influence what happens in this realm. And I will tell you something, that Satan is trying to do all he can to influence you right between your two ears, even while you're sitting here in this church. Do you believe that? He'll make us weary. He'll make us bored. He'll make us disgusted. He'll make you believe that, hey, you know what? I've heard all this before, and this is essentially, to me this morning, irrelevant, and I'm checking out. Satan will do that. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit won't do that. The Holy Spirit will not do that. The Holy Spirit wants you to understand. The Holy Spirit wants you to get it right. The Holy Spirit wants you to have the determination to win the battles. The Holy Spirit wants you to have the guts to be able to take the tennis ball, throw it in the gas tank of a vehicle, and back out of there and say, job well done. And do it again. And job well done. Do it again. Satan wants you to believe you can't do stuff like that. But the Holy Spirit wants you to believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you know what? There's no power. There's no authority. There's no devil that's too big for you and me. He is too big for you, but not for you and me. So therefore, let's go at this, but let's go at it right. Okay? Now, I'm sorry, but you ever run into this problem with time in your life? Because you say too many things and you say too many words. Proverbs chapter 2 again. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
He layeth up sound wisdom for us, okay? So there are resources there. And he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly, and they keep it the path of judgment and preserve the way of his saints. So God's got a path, but also God's got a way and an intent to preserve your way along that path. Now, everybody with me? Because here's where you get your money's worth. Here's where, if you haven't done it, lock in. All right? Brother Branham said, he raised me up with him, with Christ. After Calvary's cross, he said in resurrection, he raised me up with him. Remember now, when Jesus stood on the bow of the boat and calmed the seas, what did Brother Branham say? I was with him. Right? He says, when he turned the water into wine, I was with him. He said, when he hung on the cross, I was in him. He said, my sins were paid for because I was in him, right there. And he said, when he rose, I arose. Isn't that what he said? That's the Easter message, isn't it? And he said, he raised me up with him in resurrection. Therefore, we, when we go through a process of conversion and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we raise in newness of life. It's not my life anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. And then he says, and we are seated with him with power. We are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Say it with me this morning. Every devil. Let's try it again, right? One, two, three. Every devil. Anybody know any devils? All right, say it again. Every devil. All right, so let's just pretend every devil's got a target on his head, all right? Just for a moment. Now we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Oh, he said, if you could only believe what God's given. Do you believe, here's the question for you, do you believe that only Brother Branham benefited from the resurrection of Jesus Christ? No. Who else did? Who else did? All right. Now we, I assume that's us, we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Amen. Say it again. Every devil. So everybody say it. Every devil. But if you're not seated there, you don't have it. And if you're not seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, he said, you don't have it. If you're seated there, you don't believe it and are afraid to move, you'll never use it. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, Brother Barry, sounds good. Sounds good when everybody says it. Sounds really good on PowerPoint. But if you don't believe it, you'll never apply it. Watch what he says. If you're seated there, you will use it, for you're ordained to do what you do. You're ordained to do it. Would you grab my phone, if you don't mind, in here, please? Then, if I'm a Christian, ashamed, 1965, if I'm a Christian filled with the Spirit, wearing the testimony of Jesus Christ's resurrection, stop. Anybody in here relate to that? Anybody here relate to that? Need me to read it again? Thank you. If I'm a Christian, filled with the Spirit, wearing the testimony of Jesus Christ's resurrection, I'm pausing here for emphasis. Don't let any devil try to push you around. You don't do this and you don't do that. And you've made lots of mistakes, and you can't go here, you can't go enjoy that, you can't go enjoy this. Brother Bram says, you do do it. You do do it. The devil says you can't do it. You do do it. That's not a mistake. That's not a typo. The devil will come and tell you all the time, oh, you can't do this, and you're not worthy of that, and you can't go to the communion table. You do do it. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And the devil will come and you know, he'll just heap it on and just make life miserable for you and say, you know what? There is no joy in this life. You do do it. Yeah, you don't need any more examples. I think you got it. But see, we don't have power. That policeman don't have power to stop one car, but he's got authority. I passed a state trooper this week, and you know what your initial reaction is? Your gut reaction is as soon as you pass a state trooper? You know what it... Ah! Ah! And you hit the brakes, right? And I looked at my speedometer as soon as I was hitting the brakes and I was doing the speed limit. But it's a reaction you have, right? Because he's got authority. You know what authority he has, right? And he's just sitting there. He never looked up. He never had any radar gun or anything else. To me, it looked like he was texting. He's probably texting his wife or saying to the boys, hey, where are we going for lunch? You know, what time? We're almost lunchtime. Isn't it like Andy and Bernie? You know, are we going to go down to the diner? You know, just kind of that way. And I'm there. Ah! You know why? Because he's got authority. And that's the church. We have authority by the number of people in your church. We have authority by the amount of money we have in a tithing account. We have authority because our pastor has gray hair. It's silly. We have authority by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his promised word. Hallelujah. The things that I shall do, you shall do also. More than this shall you do because I go to the Father. Brother Branham's making something very clear in the last years, the last days of his ministry here. And he's telling us, you don't have power. You don't have, don't get an idea that you're going to cast out demons all over the place here and you're going to go do that because you've been in the message all these years. That's not it. But you do have authority. Now, I need you to think, parents, about the authority that you have. And your stand in your household. Because if you let him, the devil will come in and trample all over your household. He'll trample all over your children. He'll trample all over their phones. He'll trample all over their internet connections. He'll trample all over everything. And he'll try to make life miserable for every one of you there. You have a right. And you have an authority under God to defend your flock. To defend your children. Let me tell you something, saints of God. I stand here not because I've got equity due to my personality or seniority because of my years in the message. That's not how I stand and win battles here. I stand here because I have an office. And that office is given to me by the authority of the Word of God. And I have a right then to stand here in that authority and to be able to make decisions and to shield you from people that don't belong here and ministries that don't belong here. I don't have the physical ability to keep everybody out, but I have an authority under God to do certain things. And I'm here this morning to tell you that you, especially as parents, have an authority under God, even if you don't have the power to keep all of Laodicea out of your yard. You have the authority to make a stand and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And even your children don't have a right to tell you what you're going to do. And I don't care how old your children are. They don't have a right to take away your authority because you have that authority given to you by God in the office you're in the position that you're in. Not because you deserve it and not because the state has conferred it upon you. As a matter of fact, the opposite is actually true. The state is trying to take away. The media is trying to take away. The school system is trying to take away a lot of the authority and the rights that parents have. And they want to do things in the minds and the hearts of children that don't involve you at all. And I'm saying to you, you need to claim that ground like Caleb stood there and said, give me my mountain. I have an authority. I have a right. Are we okay? Brother Branham said, but it's the truth. He said he gave all the power and authority that he had to his church and we're just afraid to act upon it. He has given all authority unto the church. And he said we're afraid to use it. Don't you see, he said, the authority of the living God and the living church, the bride. Don't you see? You know where we are? We're in 1965 again. Spiritual food in due season. He's in July. He's not going to live more than a half a year. But he's wanting to say this over and over again. He's not just talking about prayer lines, folks. He's not just talking about healing the sick. But watch what he says. Don't you see the authority of the living God in the living church, the bride? Brother Branham does not say. Watch what he does not say. He doesn't say, don't you see the authority in my ministry? Don't you see the authority in my history? He's not pointing to himself because God's going to take him off the scene, right? He may not know that, but God's going to take him off the scene. Where is the authority? All God was, he poured into Christ. And Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, right? And where did that go? Where did that go? All of that was poured into the church. So the power and authority did not depend upon Brother Branham standing here. It depends on you understanding you're a part of that church, a part of that bride. Are we okay? It did not depend on Brother Branham physically standing here for God to do something against the kingdom of darkness. We still have the authority and the right because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a right to make our stand and to push back against the enemies that come against us and our children. We have a right to do that, even if you don't have the physical power to do it or the mental power to do it. You have the right and authority. Brother Branham said, the sick are healed, the dead are raised, the cripples walk, the blind see. The gospel goes forth in its power, for the message and the messenger are the same. He said, the word is in the church, in the person. The word is in the church, in the person. And you know what? The message is still going forth because God is still in the body of Christ, taking the word and bringing it to all nations of the earth. He said, the word of God was in Elijah when he walked up there with thus saith the Lord and said, it's going to rain. That was not Elijah, that was God in Elijah. In the same way, it's not me, it's God in me, and it's not you, it's God in you that does the works of the kingdom. Remember, I gave you that example of that couple that's from Indiana. They got the retarded baby up in front of Brother Branham. I said, we come back to it. Here we go. He said, now, Satan, you have no more right. It's all over, and we beseech you through the blood of Jesus Christ, who bid us to do so, and we cast you away from this child. Let me ask you this question, and don't raise your hand. How many of you have something in your back pocket you'd like to cast away? How many of you have a fear or a problem or a sickness or a burden or a past that you'd like to cast away? How many of you have something in your life that you'd like to stand in the face of Satan and say, hey, buddy, I got news. And what you told me I couldn't do, Brother Branham just told me to do it. And so therefore, I got a notice for you now that you are not going to push me anymore. I am here to let you know I am officially allowed to push back. I am allowed to push back against the fear that comes with this. You know, if I could, I'd heal Sister Connie. I'd lay hands on her. And if I could, I'd do that because I know she suffers. And I know every day getting up is a challenge. And I understand that. I know that some people suffer with diabetes here physical problems. And if I could, I would. There's some people that need a better job than what they got. And you know what? If I could, I would. Every one of us would. But what you need to know is that the same God that Brother Branham talked about, that same God is here today. And Brother Branham said, our problem is not that God's not here and not that there isn't things available. It's just that we're afraid to use it. And whenever I say that, things get a little quiet, and things get a little weak. But here's Brother Branham standing in front of a retarded child, Down syndrome, and he's standing in front with no hope at all in the world. Nobody can do anything for this child to correct the condition that it's in. It's a mutation. And there's nothing anybody can do. And he's standing there with all of the spiritual confidence that a man could muster and say, Satan, hey, you know what? Your day is done. You have no more right. And the grip you had on this child is now loosed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not doing this because I got a ministry, and I got a history, and I got power. He's not saying that at all. He's saying we beseech you through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not what I've done. It's what he's done already. And I'm not afraid to use it. And when they got in front of Brother Branham, he was all, you know, all of a sudden the devils are saying, the same response that I had when I saw the state trooper. Right? You know why? Because here's somebody with authority. I know that state trooper's got authority. I know that. He's only one man against a whole bunch of people, but he's got authority. He's got a presence. He's got a way about him, right? That's just inherent. We're taught that. We believe that. We've experienced that. And you know what that's like, right? Brother Branham's standing there in front of this demon exactly the same way. And in a sense, he's walking up to the demon like a state trooper will walk up to the side of your car. And everybody in that car is shaking in their boots. And Brother Branham's simply saying, your day is done. Your grip is loosed. Your time is up. You've had this child long enough. You were never supposed to have it in the first place. And I'm here to tell you that. And go ahead and try to do something about it. We can have it out right here. Because it's not Brother Branham. It wasn't Elijah. It was God in Elijah. Matthew 28. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto heaven and on earth. Now the power of the believing church. Brother Bam says, spoken words, the original seed. Christ has all power in heavens and earth. Believe that. He said, now, what if he's in you? The Scripture places him correctly. All power in heaven and earth is given unto you. Now, what if he's in you? That's the question, right? That's the question all of us are going to go out the door with. What if he is in you? Has Christ got all power? He is the seed word in his body. And he, in us, becomes the seed word in us. And all that God has, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. What about, just what if I'm right? What if what I just read is correct? What if what I just told you is true? Then you should say to that addiction, your day is done. You should say to that internet black hand that reaches out and tries to grab you, your day is done. That's it. Get your filthy hand off me. Because I'm not here based on my past experiences with you. I'm here standing now based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm here standing here now covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to shake your hand anymore. The next time fear comes to grip you because the doctor walks into the office with a file folder and lays it on the desk, you can say, hey, you know what? If I live, I continue to live for God and experience the glory of God in this life. If I die, I go to be with Jesus. And you know what? As rough as those two options are, they still, both of them, come without any fear. And so fear, we're not going to talk today. We're not going to do business today. He says, there he is. Brother Bram says, there he is with the seven stars in his right hand. The right hand or arm signifies the power and authority of God. Psalm 44. This signifies that the very power and authority of God are behind his messengers to every age. And they go forth in the fire and power of the Holy Ghost with the word. They go forth in the very power and authority of God. Brother Branham did that. But you know what I find? I find that Brother Branham did not take all the power and authority with him when he went to the grave. Brother Branham took his ministry with him because that was given to him by God. That was unique, a specific ministry given to him to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. But he never took all God had, but he poured into Christ. He never took that to the grave with him. You know what? Somewhere or another, that's still around. So, this morning I got a prayer request. This prayer request is from Sharon Van Wyk, who was just down here for the singing. Most of you know Sharon Paul's sister. She said, she put this prayer request here. And if you don't mind, let's have the musicians come and let them come without you being distracted and saying, okay, time to go. Let the musicians just slip up here if you don't mind. Sister Sharon writes this because I need you all to take this prayer request to heart. She says, hello, saints. This is Sister Sharon LaFontaine Van Wyk, asking you to please put me on your prayer request this morning in your church. She said, I will be having surgery this Tuesday to remove some cancer that the doctors have found. She says, back a month ago. And I have said from the first day that I do not fear cancer because I'm a believer and I have faith in God and his ability to heal. Believers believe. It's what we do. It's who we are. We can't help it. That's what she's saying. That's what believers do. We believe. This week, as they were doing some scans and pre-op tests, the CAT scans reviewed a few other areas of concern. And this was not something that I wanted to hear, as I was really looking forward to being done with this trial quickly. But something in my heart said, the bigger the trial, the bigger the victory. So I'm reaching out to my family and the family of believers and would like all of us to agree in prayer for a complete healing and a quick recovery. So she's got complications that she's facing there that she was unaware of. And Brother Branham was told by that angel, he said that, you know, you're going to go and pray for people and not even cancer will stand before your prayers. He said, if you can get the people to believe. And you know what? I've said it before, and I've said it a million times, and forgive me for saying it again. But if there's anyone on the earth who should believe that God's a healer, it should be us. Because we're the people that God invested all of this, all of these resources for demonstrating the fact that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He's still all of that. And we believe that of God. We believe that He's able to touch Sister Sharon today. He's able to touch you that are sitting right here. This is what we do. This is what believers do. Believers believe. We trust. We cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. We come and we're anointed with oil because that's what the Bible says in the book of James there. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray. We believe that because that's what the Bible says. We believe that because that's what we've been taught. We believe that because there's something in us that is the same as what's in here. And there's something very true and very right about what God's given to us in this last day. Something that's very accurate. Something that doesn't fail. God does not fail, right? Human beings fail. And old age still carries on. And if we could change it all, we would. But it doesn't change. Life carries on because we're under the curse. We live under the curse. And if we all are around long enough time, then we'll all go the way of the grave, right? I mean, that's just God's law. It's the nature. That's the way things are. We'll come to a land where that doesn't happen. But right now, we're there. So in the meantime, God does not say, good luck, hope you make it through. He says, I'm going to store up things for you to be able to use in this journey. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you got a resource then. You have an authority that you can stand there and push back. And Brother Ram's advice to us is not be afraid to use it. So for you young kids that are out there and you got a friend in school that comes to you and wants to, you know, hey man, you know, why don't you buy a little of this? Why don't you smoke a little of this? Why don't you take this? Or, you know, you got somebody on the internet, something there that's kind of pulling you in. You have a right through the blood of Christ to push back and say, I don't have to go there. And you can't make me. You can't drag me there. Not because I have more power than you. Because you know what? I could shut you down to be 100 more tomorrow. It'll be right there. And if I could beat up this friend here in school, which you don't beat up your friends, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. If I dealt with you, then it'd be a dozen more tomorrow who'd be right there, back there. Because the world is populated with unbelief. But what I'm calling on you to do today is to realize you've got an authority already given to you. You don't need to come here and let me lay hands on you and pray for it. You've got authority already. You just need to use it and believe that it's for you. You need to believe and take it. You need to own it yourself. You need to own it and possess it and say, this is what I have in the package of the new birth, under the blood of Christ, by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I have an authority to resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Do you believe that? Let's stand to our feet. Take your need this morning. Take your whatever need you have. And I want you to, we're going to sing a little here, but I want you to take the thing maybe that's pressing against you, the thing that's reaching out trying to strangle you, or the thing that's trying to make you afraid. I want you to take that and push against it. Push against it in faith now, maybe for the first time, and just push against them and say, no more, no more. I don't have to live this way. I don't have to go through this. I can push back from this, and I can just trust God for the future. What do you got to lose? Talking to the devil hasn't worked, right? Pleading with him hasn't worked. You know what's dragging you down. You know what's causing you to struggle. You know those things that you deal with every day. You need to put your hand out for the first time with confidence and say, you know what, Brother Bram's not here, but I'm here. I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have an authority given to me by the blood of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Fear is not going to dominate my thinking anymore. What do you got to lose? Sing it with me. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing it again now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious. Jesus. One more time, everybody, just close your eyes now. Raise your hands and just look to Him. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Thank you, Jesus. Overcomers in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads together. And let's pray together now. I want you to do it out loud. And I want you to look that demon, I want you to look that enemy in the face. And I want you to push back. Now, based on what we know, we have the right and the authority to push back. Heavenly Father, we know that you do not respond, Lord, because we pray loud or soft. We know that the enemy is not intimidated by numbers or anything else that we could physically throw at him. But Lord, we see by example how your people, whether it was the saints in the early church or all down through the Gentile dispensation, we saw how they were victorious and they stood against the enemies of God's people because they stood on the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our Savior. And Lord, today we do the same thing. We raise our hands in victory, not questioning, but in victory. We raise our hands and say, Lord Jesus, deliver us from those things that bind us. And Lord, may your people be free today in the name of Jesus Christ. May they be free from the shackles that have bound them, and may they rejoice over your deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I believe that we should be as happy as that couple that saw that little baby who was gripped by Down syndrome to be healed and be free and to be made whole completely, Lord, by your power. Because, Lord, you've always been able to do that. But finally, this devil ran into a man who was not afraid to use the authority that was given to him by God. And Lord, we today should be a people not afraid to stand under the authority that God has given to us. We know we do not deserve it. We know we stand like Sister Bruce, Lord, even questioning our purity and our virtue and everything else, Lord. We stand and we look at our human beings as ourselves and our mistakes and the many, many faults that we have. And we look at that, Lord. But Father God, we know by the Word of God, you're not looking at that. You are looking at the blood of Christ. And so therefore, we stand on the battlefield with our hands held high. And the blood of Jesus Christ proudly displayed on our chest. Knowing that the authority of the enemy now is broken. Because of what you've done. And because of what you've given the church. And Lord, I pray. Not that we have authority, because we already have it. But Lord, I pray that this people in this church would have the courage to use it. I ask, Lord, that you would give them the boldness to be able to stand on their ground and to be able to push back at the enemies of their children and in their household and in their lives, Lord. May those enemies be pushed back. And may the power of the dark world, may it be broken in our lives. But, Lord, may we have the courage to use it. May we have the courage to be able to stand and declare that we are children who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not out of our own strength and not out of our own will, but Lord, that you have made a way, and we thank you for that. Have your way, I pray. Bring deliverance to those that need it, and Lord, we entrust ourselves into your care. We love you, we thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would just give us the song of victory in the camp. Because, Lord, it's already done. The battle is already over. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and your mercy to us. Amen. Have your way. Sing it now. Just raise your hands to him and sing it this morning here. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody need prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus.
as we chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. NC. I don't think I'm getting it. his power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
Each and every heart, each and every soul, each and every one, Lord, that's reaching out to you today. And we have people, Lord, who are not with us who are sick today and they're listening, and I commit them into your care, asking, Lord, that your love and your mercy and your grace and your healing virtue would flow to them. Lord, I think about my wife today and ask, oh God, as you'd just lay your hand upon her, Lord, and give her peace and give her that touch, Lord, that only you can give. And Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would just, Lord, draw near to not only her, Lord, but we think of Sister Angie today, Lord, and just the many of Sister Shirley Buchanan, Lord, and just Sister April Grant, who's recovering. Father, may you just give her that touch that she needs today. Lord, Sister Shirley Lingle, who's lost her husband, and Father, how that, Lord, I have no idea what that feels like, Lord, to lose a living mate on the earth, Lord. But I just ask that you draw near to her and give her comfort as only you can. And just to be very real to her, Lord. Sister Hannah Whitlock today, Lord, and so many others, Father, we just believe that you're able. Lord, we thank you for touching that little boy up in the village up there and just making things well and right in his body. And Father, you're able to move there. You're able to move here, Lord. And we just believe that today. But Lord, we feel like we have another arrow put in our quiver today, Lord, because we have been shown that we have an authority with you. We have an authority over our enemies. And just like you told Father Abraham, our enemies really belong under our feet. We claim that high ground today and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, we choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord. For the fear.
the fear of the Lord, and we choose the way of the Lord. We choose the way of the Lord, for the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. We choose the way of the Lord.
Sing this as you go this morning. If you want to stay in worship, you certainly can do that. We also want to remember Sister Greg, who's not feeling well. She had a rough week, and we just want to continue to remember her in prayer. May God bless you. We'll see you later on this afternoon. We choose the fear of the Lord. Yes, we choose the word of our Lord. For the word of the Lord shall endure forever. We choose the word of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord, for the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord.